champion who ruled by intimidation.
Me, if you can survive, if I let you.
Taz would pick up guys nearly twice his size and drop them on their heads.
He is a human suplex machine.
Now he's bringing his no-nonsense New York swagger to the podcast world. This is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
All right. Welcome to the Human Podcast Machine with yours truly, me, Taz. And I want to thank you guys, as always, for downloading the show, supporting HPM, supporting the other shows here on Play.it. Play it. And subscribing to my show, the Human Podcast Chain. I always appreciate that. Thank you for all of you guys who have been downloading the my latest Raw Reaction show from this past Monday, the live show that aired from London, England. So got a bunch of downloads on that. I do appreciate you guys supporting that and getting my insight on some reactions to Raw. And I'm going to also be reacting to other shows extremely soon, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, and whatnot, TNA, and I'll be reacting to all that. So besides WWE programming, we'll be doing more of that and whatever's topical in the business, obviously. And speaking of TNA and topical in the business right now, I humbly say I might be in that realm. I might be one of those guys that's topical in the business right now, and everybody's wondering, hey, Taz, what's going on with you and TNA? You guys have been reading a lot of stuff. I am not at liberty to explain in detail right now, but will extremely, very, in capital letters, very soon. So you guys will hear the deal. Just can't do it right now. I apologize. Just can't happen. But I will tell you this, what I will not apologize for, is that this is a great show you're going to get right here, where my guest is ESPN's own Todd Grisham. Todd, we have a blast. You will see a side and hear a side of Todd Grisham you didn't know existed. His wit, his humor, his sense of humor, his sarcasm. This is why I wanted him on the show. He's just one of the most fun guests I've interviewed. So we did this. We did this interview earlier today, and you're gonna hear it here in a few seconds. We're gonna take a break real quick. Come right back with my man from ESPN, the Grish, Todd Grisham. Don't go anywhere. Sit tight. Listen to this stuff coming up. I'm Taz. Stay tuned.
All right. This is break time.
Well, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, check this out. Last year, Peter from Colorado, he won $1 million at DraftKings, in one day. Just by playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter promo code Taz, that's T-A-Z, to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code Taz for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right. We are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. And as promised, my special guest, he's on the hook right now, my man, the Grish from ESPN. Todd Grish, what's up, bro?
What's up, man? You're still very loud, aren't you? I haven't talked to you in a while, but your volume is always on point. Well, I appreciate you telling me I'm loud. Like Vavoom. Remember the car? Vavoom! When he knocked down a dam, knocked down a wall. Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you for telling me. I haven't talked to you in years, and right away out of the box you insult me, but that's great.
No, that was a compliment. Come on.
I hear you. Well, I project, bro. You got to project. You know
right.
That. You're a pro. I see you on SportsCenter. I see you on ESPN programming. You're projecting.
Yeah, it's like JR used to tell me, speak your soundbite, boy.
Everybody, if I have Coach on, no matter any former WWE announcer, there's instantly a JR reference. Because JR, he had a lot of impact on all of us. He really did.
Right. Well, I travel. I mean, I did SmackDown with him. I don't know if you've ever heard of that show. I did SmackDown with him for like 2 years, and we traveled together across the country for basically almost two straight years, and I've heard every JR story there is to hear and gotten every piece of advice he could just about give me.
I too travel with him, dude, and you know, for those that haven't, it's fun because it's just great conversation. It really is.
Right. It's not boring.
No. It's good. And when he and I traveled together, man, we would make sure we'd hit every proper food joint you could imagine. So listen, man, we haven't talked in a long time, and we've worked together in WWE for a long time. We've called shows together. We did.
I may be wrong, but I think I called your final show with you at WWE before you left. I think.
As usual, you're incorrect.
Okay. Because I was going to say, that's probably why you're no longer there. They heard you with me, and they said, Dad, you got to get the hell out of here.
No, dude.
You have fallen so far off the talent bandwagon. Get the hell out.
No, I don't think it was you and I. I think... And it was in Texas somewhere, like Dallas. It was a SmackDown. It was JR and I. I'm pretty sure. But you know what, dude?
No. Were you doing ECW and SmackDown at the same time?
No, I don't think so. When Adam Lee, that experiment went to shit, then they put a professional with me in you, and then we did the show. It was great. And then I didn't have to do play-by-play and color. I got to just do my job as a color commentator because you were a true pro. Oh.
I remember my first ever show was with you. There's a picture on WWE.com, or used to be. They probably burned it, of me and you like, hey, this is my first show, me and Taz, and the next week you left. And it was me. Then they put me with me and Stryker, and that was the beginning of my end.
Oof, yeah. Well, that's why. Once they put me with you, I went right to Kevin Dunn and said, KD, you got to get me out of this. I can't do this. I can't.
It's like when they put Stone Cold Steve Austin with Jonathan Coachman at pay-per-view. He said, I ain't showing up, damn it.
Oh, geez, man. I tell you, it's been a long time since we've talked, and I know you're doing it big. You're doing it big at ESPN. You're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, you definitely still, I'm sure on your Twitter you see it, or maybe you just hear stuff via emails, or you probably get letters in the mail. No one really gets letters in the mail no more, but I like to say that. And from wrestling fans, I'm sure you still have a lot of fans, WWE fans, that were fans of yours during that time. Do you still hear from those people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have 118,000 Twitter followers, and I'm almost positive at least 80,000 are somewhat related to wrestling in some capacity or enjoy it or know me from there. I'm under no illusion that they're like, man, this SportsCenter guy's really good. I got to follow him every day to hear what he has to say.
You're too much. See, people that don't know you, that's why I wanted to have you on. Because people need to hear the real Todd Grisham. Because I know the real Todd Grisham. And this is him.
Yeah. No. Well, I was thinking, man, how long have you had the show on? How many guests have you had total?
They're my second guest. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Seth, jump in. How many guests have we had? I'm not a big guest guy. I'll get into that in a second. See, Todd,
15.
How many? What?
10 or 15.
Seth's busy eating his breakfast. That's professional. Yeah, see, like he just said, I had 10 or 15. But the thing is, like, I'm not big into the guest thing. Usually when I have a guest on, I talk more about myself to the guest. That's my gimmick. I just put myself over to the guest. That's
right.
Kind of what I do. And that's what we're doing right now. It's great.
You're good at that. There's no doubt about it. That's why you're a podcast machine, right?
Damn right. Yeah, no, you're damn right. No, I know you're getting somewhere with some sort of a swami joke. Yeah, I've had about 10 or 15 guests. Why?
Yeah. No, I'll leave the joke. I was just thinking, man, you probably had 100 people on, and you're like, who else could we possibly get on? And I was like one step ahead of you calling animals to be on the show. What about that dog that does the Jingle Bells song that barks? Well, he's not available. We get Todd Grisham. Okay. Damn it. Y'all Grisham.
Well, I had to have Coach on first before you. You know, I had Coach on.
Hey, he's a legitimate star at the ESPN. I mean, he's doing the 11 o'clock Sports Center. He's doing all that stuff. I get a couple decent shows every now and then. But
yeah, no, you're good, dude. You do a lot of – I know you've done some, what, MMA, like you've done soccer. So I know because you have a history in soccer. You played college soccer. You played at Wingate, right, in the Carolinas?
Yeah, You must have just hit my Wikipedia page.
No, no, I didn't know because I just know that about you.
Oh, yeah, I played soccer. I used to work for Fox Soccer Channel. Now I do mainly I host Friday Night Fights every week. And then I do cover a lot of MMA, and then I do SportsCenter. So those
Let me stop you because you aggravated me.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question. Let's say I did hit up in your cool vernacular, hit up your Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Let's say that's true. Okay, let's just say, pretend.
Okay.
Is that bad? I mean, wouldn't I do my due diligence and research you?
No, I'm saying that's good.
Nah, you kind of took a shot.
But you kind of came off like, let me go to the back of my room. Didn't you go to Wingate? Like, come on. Like, you remember that from 7 years ago. I don't remember the name of my school. I got to look it up.
Then you transferred
from
somewhere.
The conversation we had at a Sizzler in Corpus Christi.
Dude, didn't you transfer from Wingate, a D2, to like, then went to a D3 or 4? What happened? You deserve that, bro.
Yeah, the school I have a degree from offers it in like hairdressing, nurse's assistant. You can see it on the Jerry Springer commercial.
You're too much. All right, so what I want to know, like I wanted to know from Coach, and I want to know from you. Like, he gave a lot of detail about his time at ESPN and how much fun he's having, but he also does miss the wrestling business too. And you guys have had such a similar career in, you know, coming in WWE similar ways, and then builds in WWE, and then, you know, branching off into real sport with ESPN, you know, a monster worldwide, you know, sports gimmick. I mean, what do you think, like, the main difference for you, like, as an announcer, as a broadcaster, from working for WWE compared to an ESPN?
I'm sorry, you fell asleep. Did you ask me a question?
Dude, about 80% of what you've said thus far, we're editing out of the show. I'm just letting you know that. This is not live, bro. So you can hit me with all the shit you want. I'm taking it all out.
I would say there's a lot. I will say this. It is harder to do what you do in regards to wrestling as it is at ESPN, because I can handle anything right now. I mean, the person I had screaming in my ear at WWE, the producer here, may think on his worst day won't even be close to that. I remember calling a match. In the middle of the match, I may have been working with you. In the middle of the match, he says to me, "Are you trying to suck this bad?" You know?
Yeah.
Now, like, I'm serious. Every time, you know, you can hear, we call it the key. When the producer or director hits the button,
yeah,
you can hear there's some.
There's a sound. You hear like a layout, yeah, like a sound of a different audio sound. Yep.
To this day, my sphincter still tightens up. And usually it's just them going, "Hey, Todd, nice job," or "Hey, we have the Celtics highlight coming next." But I'm just like sweat pouring down my head, afraid someone's going to lamb blast me.
It's like it's kind of like a beaten animal syndrome. Like, you know,
right?
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Do you think the hand's coming to strike you, but it's here to drop a treat off?
But it's true, because I got to say, when I left WWE and then went over there after that, and TNA, and then if someone was trying to talk to me, the producer, to give me a count or something like that in the truck, I had a similar feeling. Uh-oh, I'm going to get a promo cut on me. But you know what? There was definitely a lot of pressure on us as announcers in WWE.
Yeah.
But not for... Yeah. But I think it made us better.
For sure.
It's crazy.
Especially with ECW. I mean, you're a fan favorite, obviously, but you could deal with, like, a fan dropping an F-bomb three feet from your head, and it doesn't faze you. That's how I am now. I can just dial into whatever's either on the teleprompter or whatever my guest is saying. Nothing surrounding me bothers me anymore, and that's all because of those crazy WWE fans basically chanting "F you, Grisham" when I was on the air.
Yeah, they loved you, bro.
It was huge. I'm sure it's still like this to this day. You could have some fan going, "I effing hate you, you piece of garbage. You're the worst." And then you walk over to them like, "Hey, Todd, what's up, dude? Good to meet you.
They put you over. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, even I know the boys loved you a lot, too, backstage. You were a big fan favorite of a lot of the wrestlers, too. I know that. Hello, Todd, are you there?
Sorry, I lost the connection there. You said something that you were a big fan of mine. No. I appreciate that, Dad.
So do you do the whole teleprompter? You obviously have to do.
Now, to cut you off, the best thing was, let's say Vince or somebody would tell you to say something about this guy, like, "He's the worst human being in the history of the world," right? So you'd say that, And then you'd see the guy backstage, and he'd be staring you up and down, and you're like, look, it's not what I said. I didn't say that. I think you're a great guy. And they're like, get out of my face. It's you saying that stuff.
Yeah, it was always so easy to kind of pass the heat. Hey, it was Vince, man. It was Vince, dude. You know what?
Favorite one, remember, you were probably there. Remember when Vicky Guerrero was, like, the ultimate heel, and like, they were making fun of her weight and stuff?
Yeah, yes.
One day... Vince says, or tells someone to tell me, listen, we're not going there anymore. We're not making fun of her weight.
Right.
We're going to go highbrow. Okay. Well, here she comes walking down the thing. Excuse me. I just flew in today from Dallas. And Vince says in my ear, did they shove you in the cargo hold? So I say, did they shove her in a cargo hold? And then backstage, she looks at me and like she's like Bambi about to watch her mother get shot. And I'm like, I don't think they shoved you in a cargo hold.
I never knew that. That's pretty. I mean, I don't mean funny in that way because, you know, I try to be very PC here. You know,
right?
Yeah, that's my thing. Yeah, I try to be PC. But I have a teleprompter question because that's not my strong suit. Reading and writing and typing, I'm not good at that. Right.
Right.
So, especially reading, you know that.
Uh-huh.
So most of the stuff you guys do, like when you do SportsCenter or other ESPN programming, is most of it via the prompter?
Wait.
Is this like a big kayfabe? Do you want to break kayfabe?
I'm trying to be honest.
Oh, good luck.
I know you're around people mostly that are not honest. I'm trying to be honest. I'm thinking here. But we, like, have 5 hours of prep. If I'm doing tomorrow night I'm doing the 9 o'clock Sports Center. So we'll get it at 4 o'clock. They'll give us a rundown, all the stories we're doing, whatever. And we'll write all the time. You know, I'm on camera. I'll write an on-camera intro, like 30 seconds. Like, hey, Taz was killed in a car accident today. Stuff like that. I'll really put a lot of time. I'll go to your Wikipedia page.
I swear to God, you just won. I have the most regret inviting you on the show. This is not even going to air. We're just having a conversation.
But I would say about 80%, 70% of what you hear me say on camera, I've written myself. But a lot of it, the shot sheet, so to speak, like the highlights, that's a lot of that's ad-lib. And then we'll do an interview or something, a lot of that's ad-lib. So I'd say 70% of it's on the prompter.
Because the thing is, where I'm asking, you're a great ad-lib guy. I mean, for those that don't know that side of you can hear it right now just in our conversation. Of course, I'm bringing the best out of you. We know that.
That's true.
But you are definitely, I mean, you're great working off prompter, but you're also great off the cuff and on the ad lib. So, I mean, because you got the gift of gab and you're quick-witted. And I guess it would just be hard to do a show like SportsCenter because there's so much highlights, there's so much B-roll. Excuse me. The whole show is basically B-roll. You couldn't do it all ad lib. It wouldn't be possible, right or wrong.
Right, correct. Well, I mean, you could try.
Right.
I mean, well, I know a lot of what you do is. I mean, you may know 50% of what's happening, but the other 50%, you have no clue. And sometimes,
correct,
at least if it was like a WWE, they'd tell you one thing was going to happen and purposely make the other thing happen just to see how you'd react.
Correct.
So, again,
I've talked about that on here a lot, about the spontaneous reaction they want out of broadcast, especially in WWE, where you don't know everything that's going to happen, and I never really wanted to know. I'd rather react, because otherwise it's contrived, right? We know that as announcers. Even, you know, look, you haven't called a wrestling match in years. You could still get ringside and call matches, and you know, if you don't know the finish of a match or who's up, who's down, whatever, you could still call that match, and you'll react as a fan would with a broadcast twist at the finish.
Exactly.
Yep.
The to me, it's in WWE and wrestling, it's not about what you have to say, it's what you shouldn't say. So as long as you stay in your safe lane and just kind of act surprised like everybody else, the worst thing you can do, let's say a guy comes running down out of the stands, and I look over and I'm like, oh, well, that's Rey Mysterio. Everybody knows that. But I'm not supposed to say it's Rey Mysterio because we're not supposed to know it's Rey Mysterio.
Well, also because he wears a mask. Hello. We don't know it's him.
Well, you know, his tattoos usually give
that's
it in.
That's true.
It's not always the facial recognition system, Taz. That's what you get next level. When you get to ESPN, you start going, oh, okay. It's those eye-opening moments.
You ever see one of those college football, college hoops coach wear like a Rey Mysterio mask while they're coaching? That would be funny. They should incorporate some more of the business into that, into the ESPN-esque type thing. That would be cool, actually, some run-ins and stuff and shoot fights and stuff, even in the studio. I got to tell you, I think one day I've got to spin up to the studio there in Bristol and help you guys out a little bit, bring some energy and flavor and personality to that thing, because sometimes it gets a little boring for me, I got to be honest.
I'll make sure and let security know you're coming.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will. So what's with you and Coach? You guys used to be good friends. No more, huh? I heard he's got a little heat with you.
Well, he owes me too much money to have that much heat with me, trust me.
You guys are still tied, I guess, right?
Yeah, he lives probably 2 miles away from me.
Sorry to hear.
So, you know, I see him all the time. We work together a lot. Yeah, he's great. He was very instrumental in me getting here. So at least getting me the audition, which I botched, of course. But
I heard. Bro, he talked about it on my show forever. How much you botched. No, I'm kidding.
No, I did. Talking about teleprompter, true story. I write the whole show, and they give me 5 minutes basically to put together a little fake sports cast that they're going to watch. So they get this new girl on teleprompter, and it's pretty simple, Taz. Your dumbest fan could figure it out. Left is forward, right is backwards. So she's twisting the knob. I'm reading. All of a sudden, I don't know what happened. She spills her coffee. She tries to light a cigarette. All of a sudden, it starts spinning backwards like 100 miles an hour.
Oh, God.
I look over at her. She puts her hands up in the air like her house is on fire. I don't know what I did. So I have to ad-lib the whole thing. They make me redo the whole thing over. I'm like, that's not good. Going for a live television job, you have to redo.
Yeah.
You know.
That's definitely not. Yeah. But see, again, I didn't know any of that. And to show you how intelligent I am, as I put you over earlier about your ability to ad-lib, and that saved your ass.
Right. It did.
Yeah, see, there you go. See, again. Right. That's why. That's the key. When you come on here, I teach you about you. That's what I do. I'm a life coach, bro.
You know what I mean? The last thing I remember about you, you were telling me that you had flown in on an airplane. I mean, okay, flew in on an airplane. But guy, you were in first class, obviously. Some guy grabbed your luggage from up top to move it out of the way so he could put his in. And you almost got a fist fight with the guy.
That happens. Yeah, I don't like my bag being touched.
Right.
In the overhead compartment. Don't touch my stuff. I won't touch your stuff. Ask me if it's mine and if I mind you moving it. That's a gigantic pet peeve of mine. And I remember telling you that story because it was true.
Every time I fly a plane, it always happens. I'm thinking, are you constantly getting in arguments on planes?
Yes. Yes. Constantly, bro. Yeah, that's what I do. I get in argument with people everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I'm extremely confrontational. I'm angry at all times. And this is who I am. And I'm not changing. My wife says, you need to change. No, at 47, I'm done. This is who I am, and I'm not changing. Frig everybody. I don't care.
What about if your wife does something you don't like? You don't yell at her, do you?
No. What do you think? I'm an idiot? No. Right. Of course not. I'm not the boss of the house. That's her.
Right.
Hello. Exactly.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, I've been married for like 5 years now. Isn't it amazing how you just like swallow your balls?
Yeah.
If somebody had a camera following you around at home, they'd be like, I'm never watching this piece of garbage again. Taz, your shirt's on the ground. Pick it up. Yes, Miss Daisy.
Great, bro. Oh, you're killing me. Oh, geez. So what do you like? What do you miss, if anything, most about your time in WWE? Was it the travel? I know you love to travel. You're a big world traveler. Was it that?
Hey, after 8 years and 51 weeks of travel a year, I can pass on that. I mean, hey, it's great going to L.A. Des Moines, Iowa, not so much. You know, you can only hook up with that same girl in Des Moines for 8 years before you got to move on.
He's not joking. Oh man. So now what ESPN, most of your work is done in studio. You're in Connecticut. You're based out of Connecticut. Most of your stuff's there, right?
Right. But when I do Friday fights, it's obviously on the road every week. This week I'm going to the Mohegan Casino.
That's right up the road from you, bro. Please.
Right up the road. No problem. But calling some fights there, so I love doing that. I still really enjoy being at the fights. But as far as SportsCenter goes, almost exclusively in studio.
Yeah. And what's the deal? What's your whole viewpoint and everything? Mayweather, Pacquiao, what's your stance on that thing?
You know, I'm extremely racist. If it was two white guys fighting, I might watch it.
Oh, jeez.
I'm Alabama.
You're killing me.
This stuff. No, I think Mayweather's going to beat him, and it's going to look a lot easier than people think.
Yeah, you think so, huh?
I think so. What do you think?
I think Pacquiao, only because Muhammad Ali said he was going to win. That's what he said. Muhammad Ali made a prediction. Krish, you're a boxing guy. I mean, right or wrong, am I correct? Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time.
Uh-huh.
He's like, wait a minute, he's looking it up right now.
No. I know the answer. I'm just going to wait. Here you dig your grave. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
First of all, he's First, let's start with the word said.
Well, no, he wrote it or something. I don't know.
Sign language.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Somehow, Ali got out. The Pacquiao, he tweeted it. That's it. Yeah, thanks, Seth. He tweeted it. That's what it was.
From my understanding, and Seth, I'm sure, can figure this out in the next probably 8 or 9 hours.
Maybe 10.
Okay, that someone came out and said, Ali predicts Pacquiao, blah, 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 and then the next day, they said that's not true. He just said he's a huge Pacquiao fan because he's so generous with his charities. He wishes them both the best of luck.
Wait, are you saying this as a? Are you just? Does that what happened, Todd? Because I don't follow.
Yes, because I heard the same. I'm like, wow, Ali going on record with. And then the next day, they're like, no, he didn't say that.
Right.
But he is very tight with Pacquiao, or was.
Well, that's why I agree with you that Mayweather will win this fight. Seth, I want to get Seth's a big boxing guy. He's a big fan of boxing. What's your deal?
I think Todd hit the nail right on top of the head. It should be an easy fight for Mayweather. I mean, Pacquiao's a little bit of a puncher's chance, but, Pacquiao's lost to guys who are good boxers in the past.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. Everybody's like, it's going to be so awesome. It's going to be a slug. I'm like, look, Mayweather has fought 47 times. Go back amongst all those 47 times and show me one barn burner awesome fight Mayweather's had. He's never had it.
Well, being that we're talking about boxing, I got to be honest with you. Most people don't talk about boxing, and I know you're involved with boxing on ESPN. That's not a knock on you. You do, Todd, but I have to say, I think that, and you've heard this, and I know you're going to have a counter on this, big guy, but UFC has affected, obviously, the wrestling industry, their success with mixed martial arts. But a lot of people feel UFC has squashed boxing, and boxing is kind of an archaic sport due to the popularity of MMA. Where do you pick in on that?
Well, there's basically everyone said the only way boxing can compete anymore, because it's so disorganized, you have 8 champions in the same weight class, guys won't fight each other like Mayweather Pacquiao. The only way to do it is to somehow centralize it like UFC's done. If Dana White says this guy has to fight this guy, then they fight. Boxing, there's a guy named Al Haymon who's got a lot of backers now. He's got a ton of money. He's putting fights on NBC, ABC, CBS, and soon ESPN.
PBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's doing that. So if this somehow works, and so far it's been pretty successful, I think boxing can make a pretty big comeback.
Okay, that's
my optimistic view.
Well, for you, I hope so, because it sounds like without boxing, you're kind of done.
Right.
I love it.
You're right.
No, 100%. That's not true. So what, like, the soccer thing? Like, I know, I remember
I
when...
Done, believe it or not, I came here and I've done one soccer game, that's it.
Well, that's crazy. I know, I did my research on Wikipedia about that.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is with the soccer thing, I was going to say, is I remember while you were in WWE, you started working, I think, for Fox Soccer
Channel,
Schnabitz, whatever it was, and you were doing stuff with that while you were WWE. I mean, did you get any pushback from WWE with that, or they were supportive?
I went and asked them, and they were cool about it. You know how WWE loves being mainstream. That's why you see anytime they can, they put people on the Today Show. You saw Brock Lesnar come on SportsCenter to make his announcement. So to them, hey, one of our guys is doing quote-unquote legit sports. That's fine with us. Makes us look more legit.
Smart of WWE. I wonder, because I didn't talk to you about that. I tried to avoid having many conversations with you off air.
Understood.
I was wondering, because you were one of the first guys that was like a hybrid while working for WWE. It was kind of cool.
And it was sort of good that, I mean, I got more money, obviously. So I was making bank for a while there, and then that Fox Soccer Channel died and went away. I killed the network.
Yeah, well, that's
but,
why I...
Hey, but you know what? I remember, I don't know if it was you specifically, but there's a lot of people like, soccer, you're an idiot, who cares? And now look at it. I mean, it's growing leaps and bounds. The World Cup was huge ratings, and MLS is getting good ratings this year, so that sport's making a pretty good run right now.
Yeah, I first, all kidding aside, I didn't say that to you, because I'm not a soccer fan, but I'm a fan of sports that are not over-the-top, mainstream, popular. Now, soccer has become that, to your point, you just said.
Well, I remember asking you about your son, one of your sons. I don't care about the other one, but one of your sons.
I have one, so you hit the nail on the head. You're good.
I said, hey, is he going to play soccer? He goes, soccer, hey, come on.
No, he's a lacrosse guy.
Come on, he's not ready to play soccer.
He's a lacrosse guy. Lacrosse, bro.
But he was baseball. You're putting him in baseball.
When he was little, he was playing baseball and football, and he wrestled when he was younger.
Right.
And then once he got to, like, middle school, he kind of just morphed into a lacrosse player, and you know, he's rock and roll. Now, but you know,
is he going to go to college to play?
Yeah, he's already committed D1. So, and he's
where's he going?
He's
going
to go to Bucknell. So,
you know, I could put a good word in for him at Wingate if you want.
That's great. right, bro. So yeah, no, he's doing good. He's look, you're familiar with lacrosse a little bit, I'm sure. You know, you guys cover it.
It's a great sport. It's growing too.
Yeah, it really is. It's growing. You know, where we live on Long Island, and you know, as you know, like up in New England and Long Island and Maryland and Philadelphia, that's where lacrosse is the hotbeds, obviously, but the game has grown, dude, as you know, like throughout the South and out West in California, yeah. Texas. So, and I know you guys on ESPNU does a great job covering lacrosse. I know a couple of the broadcasters that work for ESPN covering lacrosse. And, you know, it's great to see that you guys are doing a great job at that. I did cut a little promo via Twitter a while back at ESPN. Because
it ruffled a lot of feathers. But what was it again?
No, I got hot because, and a lot of people did because lacrosse fans did because one of the, I can't remember the guy's name, man. If I had a real producer, he'd look it up right now, but he's not. He's kind of looking at his egg sandwich. One of the SportsCenter guys, kind of in a highlight, there was a spot highlighting a lacrosse play, and the guy made a joke of lacrosse, like a real, and you know. You understand, this is America's game. I mean, American Indians invented the game. You know, this is there's a lot of heritage and tradition
Native,
in the game.
Native Americans, but okay.
Yeah, well, that's, dude, what are you, a history teacher? Relax, you get my drift. So, yeah, what I'm saying is you guys as a network kind of took a shot at the game, and that pissed a lot of people off, you know?
Well, you got to be careful when you say as a network. It was one doofus, right, basically?
Yeah. It might have been Coach. You know.
People could say that to me all the time. Like when I'm doing hockey highlights, there'll be some name that'll say it'll be like Miroslav Kucherpekov or something. And they're like, no, Todd, it's not Kucherpekov, it's Kupichier. I'm like, oh,
close,
okay.
But no cigar.
I mean, that stuff happens, and then the internal reflex sometimes is to make fun of the subject instead of yourself. I'll make fun of myself. Someone else, if they butchered a lacrosse name, might be like, oh, lacrosse is stupid. I can't pronounce the names. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm sure it was something like that. But you have to agree, the dumbest looking individual sport player in the history of the world is an indoor lacrosse goalie.
Oh, the goalie looks like a tractor trailer. He looks like a dump truck. The shoulder, I don't understand that.
Explain that to me.
Here's part of the reason. Okay, aside. It's not a gimmick. It's not for comedy. For those that don't know, what Todd's talking about is for indoor lacrosse, that's the NLL, National
Lacrosse League.
There you go. Thank you. And it's the indoor league. And they have giant shoulder pads and giant pads on their hips. They look like they're 600 pounds. And the goal, the cage, is actually smaller than field lacrosse. So indoor lacrosse, NLL, is box lacrosse from Canada, but we do it in the States as a pro league. It's a small cage, and the goalie's gigantically oversized to block the cage. Also, it's a smaller field as opposed to outdoor lacrosse, where the shots are coming at these goalies a lot faster than they are in field lacrosse, hence why the goalies are so padded up. I guess I should be working for friggin' ESPN.
Hey, basically, the guy looks like 10 pounds of poop in a 5-pound bag.
Yeah, that basically covers it right there.
It's so, you see him, and you're like, what's the point? Why not just put like a wooden piece of plywood in front of the goal with little small holes that you have to score in? Why do you even have that guy out
there? Dude, speaking of goalie, the size of cages, how about in soccer, you know, your sport that you excelled at in a D2 level? I mean, how big, how much, what position did you play in soccer?
I played forward.
Okay, so goalies, they have all this ground to cover. You know, I mean, how big the cage is, dude? It's craziness.
Yeah, 8 yards by what, 8 yards long by something high. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably 10. No, not 10. I don't know.
Like
I'm not.
It's like, I don't know. I haven't played in a while, Taz, to be honest with you.
Well, it sounds like when you played, it wasn't really that good either.
Right. However big it was, I couldn't find it very often. Which isn't good for a D2 forward.
No, I'm joking about the D2 stuff. Hey, look, to me, I played D2 college football, so I got you. I mean, it's not the to me college. It's hard to play a sport in college, as you know. I mean, go to class and stuff, and you know, keep your academics up, and obviously training and film sesh and just the sport you play. It's tough. I don't care what division, 1, 2, or 3. So
I will say this, and for my soccer team in college, our practices started at 8 a.m., and before we showed up at 8 a.m. practice, we had to run 5 miles.
Yeah.
Before practice started.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. Yeah, and again, because of a that's what, especially in a sport like a soccer, and by its way, it's 24 feet by the cage by 10 feet deep, just so you know. I just Wikipedia'd it.
You mean 10 feet high as opposed to deep, but okay.
8 feet high, bro. I just said 10 feet deep, 24 wide, 8 feet high.
Why does it have to be 10 feet deep? It could go infinity deep.
That's a good point. I didn't make the cage. I didn't make the. I'm just telling you what Wicca said. Wicca. So.
Did Seth look that up?
Seth, yeah, he did.
Does Seth get paid, or is this a volunteer? Is he doing this for his work release program?
Seth is a. You know, Seth is a CBS radio employee, my friend.
Wow.
Yeah, as am I. So that's a whole other story.
You're getting paid for this.
I actually get paid. Yeah, I actually do get paid, bro.
Wow. No, that's not a joke. Most podcasts, or they do. It's a labor of love, correct?
Yeah, but I love money.
You love the labor to get paid.
Correct, yeah. I don't know. Some people, that might be crazy to them, but to me, it's about making money. I don't know. That's what I think.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, if you don't pay me, I'm a whore. I mean, if you pay me, I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Wow.
So, TMI.
And probably one of the most attractive ones I've been with.
Oh, man. Geez. So, right, so look, do you miss the business, the wrestling business, or you're good? You don't miss it, honestly?
At times.
Really?
Okay. I mean, let's say you became the new NLL color commentator.
I'd have a big pay cut.
They're like, Dad, do you miss calling wrestling matches? What would you say?
I'd miss the money.
Well, I mean, your whole life, that's your whole. I enjoyed, like, if no one was in my ear and they sent me to WrestleMania to call those, I'd love it. It'd be awesome. Yeah. But as far as, like I said, you know, going to Dubuque on a Monday night and getting mentally and tortured for 2 hours, that wears thin after 8 years.
Do you stay in touch with any of the guys anymore from WWE, or you're good?
I try, but they don't return calls.
But you know what? You're not joking, because it's kind of true. I know.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I get like a random text from like Mark Henry once every 4 years.
Well, that's cool.
I'm like, oh, what's up, man? It's always something like, hey, man, my cousin's brother plays for this team. Are you guys going to get an eyeliner on? Or something like that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's what but hey, those guys, their lives. There's a couple guys that still stay in touch. I talk to Christian every now and then.
Oh, yeah, he's the man. He's great. Sure.
He's a great guy, yeah. Guys, like, that's about it.
But, my first guest I had on this show here back months ago was Edge.
Good dude,
great guy, right?
No, I do love Edge. Is great. How
Edge
many? What's been your highest rated podcast so far?
I would probably say most shows where I have no guests, it's just me. To be
really?
Honest. No, I don't know. My highest rated. They've all been. I'm lucky because fans support what I do,
okay, all right, all the PC stuff. I'm saying, what's the Seth has got it right there. Print it out in front of us. The number one. Because this is going to be your lowest. I want to know what your highest is.
Listen to me. First of all, it's not, Todd, it's not like some PC BS that I'm spewing. I'm serious. People support the show. I know you think you know me, and you don't. We're talking about Edge. I'm using this.
You know me. I
think you know me. Dude, Gritch, seriously, people support the show, and I am appreciative of that. You want to be the cool, crazy, shock jock guy from ESPN. Oh, Taz, don't say the PC stuff. Okay. That's not true. I'm very appreciative of people that support the show.
Seinfeld was a huge hit, right? Everyone loved Seinfeld, but there was one episode that probably rated higher than the others.
Okay,
that's all I'm asking.
Listen, we will answer your question.
Edge has the most numbers because it's been posted the longest, but his numbers are pretty consistent across the board.
Okay.
There you go. So, see, and consistent, he means high. Now, some
gigantic.
Some guys who do podcasts, and I will not say names, they go out and they publicly boast and at times lie, exaggerate, and say, I had all these millions of.
75 million.
Yeah, and truth be told, that's a load of bullshit. So, you know, I don't spew numbers out, Todd. I don't have to. I'm not insecure. I'm very confident in who I am in my own skin, Todd. And as I told you, I'm a life coach. So I'm about positivity and about putting up positive zen. When I had Rob Van Dam on, we talked a lot about positive zen. Van Dam put me in that zen state. You know what I mean?
I wish.
How's he doing?
He's doing great, actually. Rob's doing great, dude. He's doing it big out in L.A. He's doing a lot of stuff out west. He's still working, wrestling here and there. I think he's still on the contract, per se, to WWE.
Crazy.
Like a Jericho deal, like an open-door contract.
Yeah.
Open-door policy.
To me, Rob Van Dam seemed
said
like
that
a guy who had
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What'd you say? Go ahead, Gritch. You're on. Go.
Oh, okay.
And go. Go.
To me, Rob Van Dam seemed like the guy who had it the most together but didn't have it together guy ever. Like, he was so cool, calm, collected, and you're like, hey, that's great, yeah. And you just found out he just got out of jail like 10 minutes ago.
No. It's the truth be told, I know Rob a lot of years. He's actually one of the more intelligent guys I've been around in the business. Very smart guy.
He's very nice, too.
Very nice guy, but he's very smart, and he knows what he's doing. He sees the, you know, past the trees. He looks at the forest. So one of those guys, that cliche, right? That's his deal, man. He really is very, very intelligent and systematic in what he's done in his career, and that's why he still has success, and he's still making money. You know, he was doing some podcast stuff. Then after that, he was doing RVD TV, like stuff online. He gets involved with stuff online a lot. He does well. He does good for himself, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you should do some more stuff. I could see you doing a good podcast, maybe on soccer or something like that, or on the size of goalie cages. I don't know, something.
Goalie cage. I want to do an in-depth look at indoor lacrosse goalies. I think that'd be a great podcast.
You get one good show out of it, maybe. I don't know.
Mark Henry would be a good goalie for.
Oh yeah.
You could have one. Actually, he would. In the size of his shoulders. But the thing is, like, for me, Todd, like, again, you're my guest, but we're going to talk about me a little bit, right? So for me, like, I'm big into just having conversations. So like this interview that we did here, it's probably not even an interview. It's just like we're talking, correct?
Correct. We're just talking.
That's me, bro. That's what I do.
Right.
I'm not Tom Brokaw.
That's always what girls would say to me in high school when I thought we were going somewhere. They'd say, "We're just talking." There's nothing else happening here. We're just talking.
I was like, okay, just cool. Friends. We're just friends.
Right.
I love you as a friend, Todd. You're great.
You haven't talked to me in years. You don't love me either. You love me as a guy who single-handedly destroyed your career at WWE.
You did. And I want to thank you publicly for that. We had a lot of fun.
What's the biggest difference between WWE and where you work now?
Well, I don't know where I work right now. At CBS Radio compared to WWE? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
CBS, it's just different. It's just I'm you know, you're free to kind of just have, you know, speak your mind and speak about whatever. It's free talk. It's and a lot of times I don't just talk about wrestling stuff. I talk about real sport or stuff that's going, that's topical. At times I do that. I just did a bunch of live shows, a daily show for CBS, so, you know, a streaming show. So, you know, just a lot of opportunities to just grow outside of, well, he's a former wrestler, former champ, a commentator. You know, they kind of let me do a little bit more stuff, you know.
I would think that your podcast has got to be in their top 10% of the ones they do. By numbers, correct?
Top 1%.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to say it. Seth did. So that's
well,
why
he hadn't said anything all night, but boy, and he's like, no, top 1%, and it's produced by Seth, by the way.
By the way.
It's on his resume, bold print right at the top.
Yeah, so basically
top
what
1%.
Seth is saying to you, Todd, is that you're lucky to be on this son of a bitch here.
Does ESPN do podcasts? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they do, Seth. No? They don't do podcasts at ESPN. They
no.
don't.
Yeah, we do them. We do hundreds of them.
No, we're kidding. Joking. We're joking.
I used to do one with Linda Cohn. She called it Listening Closely with Linda Cohn. She's a huge hockey fan. She's from Long Island. You should try and get her on your show.
Where is she from? She's from Long Island, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
She's been with ESPN a lot of years, though.
Oh, she's great. Long, long time. She's been, I would say, 20 years or approaching it.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. What about the JR of ESPN, Berman, Chris Berman? You know him pretty good or not really?
I mean, I see him and say hello, but
I could see him not liking you much.
He doesn't know who I am.
Thank you. That's my point. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like if it's your first day at WWE, you're not going to go up to Ric Flair and try to be his best buddy.
No,
you know what I mean? You're going to say, hey, nice to meet you, Mr. Flair. Move on. That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, I just would figure that maybe Chris Berman would look at you as a younger man that might replace him. I guess.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm barely lucky to have a job.
Hey, Todd, when Coach was on, he told a great story about how the first day he met Taz. I wonder if you had a similar experience when you met Taz.
Again, it's about me, bro, not you.
God, I don't remember the first day I met. Do you remember the first day you met me?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you this. The first day I went to WWE, I do, actually. I remember roughly the first time I met you. You and Michael Cole were doing SmackDown fixes, or I don't know what you called them, at the studio. You called on Tuesday, and then you changed some of the stuff.
I think the word you're looking for is wild lines.
Right. They would basically clean up all the mistakes Taz made on Tuesday.
That's such bull. Okay.
They called them Taz lines, but for Taz, they were called wild lines.
Mayo wild for the community.
But you guys said, listen, WWE, you got to put your head down, you stay in your lane, you avoid contact, you don't piss anybody off, you don't say the wrong thing, just kind of take it easy, you know, don't bubble. I said, okay, great.
Who told you this? Cole? Did Cole tell you this or me?
You.
Okay.
A lot more eloquently, I'm sure. But probably some F-bombs mixed in there. So I remember going on the road the first day, and the Brooklyn Brawler said, hey, listen, go up to Al Snow and tell him that you think wrestling's fake.
Oh, that's great.
So I go, okay. Hey, Al, I think wrestling's fake, and I think you're a joke. And Al goes, oh, okay, that's great. Well, somebody goes and tells Stone Cold Steve Austin that I said wrestling is fake.
Well done. Well, yeah, well, you know what? It's a crazy business, and I think at that time it was a crazy time. And you also triggered people and you know, pissed
right.
people off.
I think I remember seeing you the next day, like, I heard your first day on the job was good. And I said, oh, yeah, it was great. It was great. Thanks, Dad.
Because
go tell Lita you want to make her pregnant. She'll love it.
You're too much, dude. Oh my God, you're killing me. All right, well, see, I think people are gonna love this because they're finally getting to hear you vent and let everything out.
Right, God.
You've been working off of a screen and talking about how many RBIs, you know, some guy from the Dominican Republic has playing for the Toronto Blue Jays.
By the way, baseball is just, we might as well just ship it down to Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, right? You're a baseball guy.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I was a big baseball guy, but I kind of morphed. You want to keep bringing me back, but I'm more of a lacrosse
guy. But people
guy.
Keep saying, why is it kind of slowly dying in America? We don't get it. I said, watch a Major League Baseball game. How many Americans are playing in the game?
Dude, you know, let me tell you something. You've established you're a racist. You have done
that. No, I'm joking. Soccer. Soccer is like the most international game in the world.
No. We're joking about the racism thing. But the thing is, look, that whole baseball thing, I don't agree with you that the game is dying in the States because there's not a lot of Americans playing. And it's the Hispanic, you know, they're just better players.
I agree. But I'm saying, like, you know, if you're going to look up to if you're going to have a baseball hero, there's no one you kind of want to associate with someone, and they're wondering why, like in their inner cities, no black kids are playing. There's no black players to support. Like, if you want an NBA player, there's millions to choose from.
Okay, and I completely disagree with everything you just said, and I'm going to tell you what. My son went through this. My son, when he was little, was a baseball guy. We established that in this, correct? Yes, we did. So now he morphs into a game that. I said, why do you want to leave baseball? This is when he was probably in fifth grade. He goes, Dad, I'm bored. It's boring.
Yeah.
I swear in the Bible. He says to me, it's boring. Hence why he went into lacrosse, because it's a field sport. It's a combination of football, hockey, basketball, soccer. It's movement, constant movement. And it's a game of success as opposed to baseball. It's a game of failure.
Right.
It really is. So, again, we're establishing that I could basically go on ESPN and host a sports center with my eyes closed, but I digress. So,
Seth's favorite sport?
What's that?
Me?
What's Seth?
Yeah.
I'm a diehard Yankee fan, you know.
That's baseball.
Yeah. I love football. I love all sports.
So really. Let me guess. Seth likes the Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Duke Blue Devils.
No. Yankees Raiders. I like
it. Oh, gosh.
Back when I was seven.
Okay.
Let's talk about baseball. The reason why baseball is failing is because they cleaned up the sport. There's no more offense. You know, you got to put the PEDs back in and we'll all come back.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. But I'm trying to explain to you, Seth, and to you, my guest, Todd Grisham, from experience why baseball's failing. But you guys are just not listening. I'm telling you from experience as a dad of a former baseball player. My son played at a high level at a young age. That's travel ball all over the country. He was a really good player, and he tried out on all these different all-star teams, made them, and he was a young kid and did this for a long time up until, like I said, but fifth grade, he's like, I'm done with this. I'm just bored. I'm tired of sitting, you know, at third base or at shortstop waiting for something to get hit to me. And you strike out, then you got to wait 2-3 innings, or you pop out, you got to wait 2-3 innings to get another chance to succeed. It's a game of failure. Kids don't want to fail. Don't you understand, as a society, Todd, we have to pamper our kids and give them success all the time?
Yes.
Don't you realize that your kids are little? You have to spoil them and put a cushion under them, because we can't let them fall on cement to survive. We got to protect them.
Gone are the days of barbed wire baseball bats.
I don't know.
Whatever happened?
Whatever happened to that?
Taz, you didn't think this through, because there's a lot more money in baseball than lacrosse. But
no, but that, well.
Yeah, here we go.
No, but on a shoot, though, like, look, you play lacrosse, your goal is to go to college and get a great education and work right in the great seat I'm in right now on Wall Street, or be a doctor or an attorney or some kind of professional guy. You're not going to the MLL or the NLL to play pro lacrosse and make a boatload of money. I mean, that's just not the way it is, like with pro baseball or pro football or hoops or something like, or even soccer now, or hockey. You're not doing that with lacrosse. You know that as a lacrosse player when you're young. You know that as a parent of a player like that. But with baseball, I'm telling you guys, my son's an avid athlete for years. Just him as an example. And not just him, but like 7 or 8 of his friends left baseball around the same time he did to go to a sport, either stay with football, but now with the concussions, they're leaving football too.
Right.
And that's why a game like lacrosse or soccer is growing the way it is. So, look, I mean, I don't really need anyone out here on my show because I'm kind of laying it all out for you guys. And you're sitting there, Mr. Sports Center, with your thumb up your ass. Like, yeah, he's right, you know. Jesus.
What do you mean to do? We can't fight it out.
All right. Sorry. I love you, though. You know.
No, I mean, I think I agree that baseball is dying. There's multiple reasons, not just that one. But,
So you think it's more of the lack of juice?
I think the lack of offense, the fact that it takes 3.5 hours to play a game, the fact that it's boring, the fact that you stand around most of the time instead of playing it, the fact that there's hardly any role models, the fact that it's dead in the inner city, the fact that it's growing in Dominican and shrinking here, I think all those factors play into it.
Otherwise, it's doing great.
But according to Bud Selig, he said last year that it's the golden age of baseball. Just because he's looking at the dollars and cents, it's making more money than ever. But if you go around, like when I first came to ESPN 4 years ago, when spring training started, I wouldn't say there was a buzz around the newsroom, but you go walk past somebody, you hear them talking about baseball. Now, all of a sudden, it's opening day, and they're still talking about any other sport, college basketball, hockey. Anything.
Yeah, that makes sense, dude. Yeah. I mean, well, now, so I guess ratings-wise, like, you guys on ESPN still have, it used to be Sunday Night Baseball, right? Do you still have that?
Right. We still have that.
So I wonder how the numbers are on that. I wonder if they dip.
Well,
they probably dip.
I think Seth will agree that baseball is still huge. Every Yankees fan is still a Yankees fan, and they're teaching their kids to be Yankees fans. The only problem is if the Yankees aren't playing on TV, you don't care. Whereas football, you can watch the Seahawks play the 49ers and be almost as passionate about it as if your Giants were playing the Jets.
Yeah, but
you just love football.
That's true. I agree with that. As a Jet fan, I was beaten down. Now I've morphed. I don't know if you got the memo. I've morphed to a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm angry with the Jets.
Well, you like Rex Ryan. He seems a lot like you.
I do like Rex, yes. I guess we have some similarities. He's annoying, loud, and obnoxious.
I don't know. I get these ESPN, that's called a hot list, emails from ESPN. It's like the hottest topic so that we make sure and put it in our show.
Human podcast machine, how to be at the top.
Well, here it's a hot list. I'll read this thing to you.
I guess not.
Rex Ryan takes exception to criticism of the 2014 Jets. Okay?
Hmm.
So basically, one of the players, let me find this exact story, called out Rex Ryan by saying, hey, our new coach now is making guys accountable when they're late and all that stuff. So here's what Rex Ryan said about tight end Jace Amaro. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it, Amaro.
He goes, he's full of shit, and I'll remind you that when we play him. Look, we weren't perfect, and I never said we're going to be perfect, but that's an effing BS comment. But, hey, he's happy he's got a different coach in place. We'll see how happy he is when we play him.
See, that's what I love about him. See, that's Rex Ryan right there, bro. That's why I'm a Bills fan.
That's a Taz
great
comment.
I see it now. Yeah,
that's how you were if I was like, hey, Taz, they didn't have any decaf. They had regular coffee. Boy, it's like letting a Bruce Banner out of his freaking jacket. What? How hard is it to find decaf? Is it David Banner, Bruce Banner? I don't know.
It's been both, actually. Might be
times.
Sports Banner. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Who's What's the Hulk guy's regular name when he's a normal dude?
No, at times it's been David. Like on TV, it was David. I think in the comic books, it was Bruce.
Right now, as people listen to this, I'm getting tweets from many Marvel comic fans.
You don't know Hulk. It's David Banner. It's Bruce Banner. It's David Furman
exactly.
Banner.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just can't wait for the new Wonder Woman movie. How many of those are they going to make? They've got Batman versus Superman coming out. They've got Wonder Woman versus the Glob. I don't know what's happening.
Glob.
The Avengers taking on the Mets. I mean, geez, enough of these superhero movies.
Speaking of Yankees and the Mets are a better team this year, right or wrong? The Yankees kind of suck, right?
It's not saying much.
I know, I'm just saying. The Yankees are hurting. They have no star. Their biggest star is A-Rod. He's 90.
And he's the best hitter on the team. That's scary.
That
the best
scary.
Thing is the Yankees send out a daily thing called Yankees Milestone Update or something. and he's coming. I mean, he's about to tie Willie Mays, the greatest home run hitter ever, and like they don't even put it on the milestone chart. Wow. But they put like,
we try not to pay him. He gets $6 million if he gets that.
They're like, hey, this closer is about to throw his 7th strikeout, which would be the 17th most in the first 2 starts in history.
Well, they didn't want to eat $60 million. That's why he's on the team.
Yeah.
All right, Todd. Well, I'll let you get back to your post-production sports center meeting, whatever it is you guys do up there. Whatever you do up there in Bristol.
Yeah, I've actually got 2 texts on my phone that says don't bother coming into work today. So I don't know what that's about, but I'll check on it.
The best, dude.
I don't know what that's about.
Oh, you're the man. I'm happy because people get, you know, look, as a WWE announcer, not just you, but so many guys like you, that were never wrestlers, you know, that came in as legitimate broadcasters, you know, yourself or Coach and stuff like that, or the great Todd Romero, you know.
Is anyone going to know that name? Will that register at
all? I said it to pop you, and you popped, and that's all that matters.
If anyone has hung around for the last 45 minutes, I bet they do know him. If they've hung around this long, they know enough to know who Todd
Romero
is. That's
a good point, actually. No, but I'm saying, people don't get to see the personalities of fellas like you or Coach. You know what I mean? Like that kind of that and being.
By the way, quick Todd Romero story. I'll keep it very quick. He threw up on JBL's jacket at a bar one time. You can imagine how that exchange
that
went.
That had to go well.
I thought he was dead. Thought he was dead.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead.
He was
in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he threw up on JBL's jacket at a bar.
Todd, and knowing Todd Romero back then, that doesn't surprise me that he vomited in a bar.
Right. Knowing him, he probably tried to wipe it off with like a wet nap. It's fine.
Oh, man. No, but like what I'm saying is that guys like yourself or like a Joey Styles or, you know, a Coach, you guys have, there's so much the straight men-esque in wrestling business of broadcasters, there's so much wit and so much sarcasm that people don't realize you guys possess. Some people find it offensive. I think it's entertaining, and I love it. I love guys like you guys. So Mike Tenay is a guy I worked with for years, you know, during my time there at TNA, and I got to tell you, just another quick-witted, funny, sarcastic, swarmy guy, JR, similar guy. You know what I mean? It's just something about the play-by-play guys that just have that built-in anger. I love it.
Right. I mean, I've met Dick Enberg and Vern Lundquist. Those guys off camera, you wouldn't even recognize. Nance, even. Great sense of humor. You just... Not saying that I have one. I'm just saying these guys aren't what you think they are, and it's usually for the better.
Right. Well, you're on your way, and hopefully, you know, I know you in your career so far, you've hit probably a double. Hopefully, you hit a triple soon.
But I think I got caught stealing it second today. So,
hey Seth, I text Todd yesterday. I said, "Look, bro, we're gonna do this time. Is it working?" He goes, "Yeah, that's cool, whatever." And then I go, "Look, bring your A game." And then Todd, say what you replied.
I said, okay, I will, but I just let you know that my A game is about a C.
That covers Todd.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for having me on the show, man. It was a lot of fun, and good luck to your future. And I'm sure Seth one day will get a real job, and we'll hear about him working at Kroger.
Yes.
Thanks for the support, Todd. I appreciate it.
Sure, man.
Follow Todd. Hold on, Todd. We'll follow you on Twitter.
Don't plug him.
Plug his Twitter, please.
At Grisham ESPN.
That's right.
Da-na-na.
Check out my man Grish on ESPN. Check out his Twitter. He's the man. Hope him get to, you know, what do you got, 40,000 followers? Hope him get to 41,000 followers. How many followers you got again?
I have 118,000.
You're a stud, brother.
Ding.
All right, so.
Don't think I don't throw that at Coach's face all the time. He's got like 70,000. I just did this and traveled the world. I'm like, yeah, well, why do 30,000 more people like me?
Tell Coach that, because I'm sure you're eating breakfast on him right now. Tell Coach.
No, hold on. Let me wake him up, but go ahead.
tell that some bitch I said hello and tell him that you did a better job than him.
It's pretty much a given, but thank you. I will.
Grish, I appreciate you coming on, bro.
All right, man. Good luck.
Got to have you on again, and make sure you put me over on SportsCenter, all right?
Will don't.
Okay, thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you later. Be good.
Bye.
Bye. All right, look, I got to go take a break right now. Hold on. Wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, okay. And that's what they call a wrap, as they say, right? So I want to thank my special guest in this episode of the Human Podcast Machine, and that was ESPN's own Todd Grisham. Just really had a blast with Todd. Seth and I were talking a little bit early in the week that Todd would be a great guest, and sure enough, he was. Did not disappoint. I hope you guys really enjoyed it, and tell your friends and family, even people you don't like, that it was a pretty good show and a pretty good interview, and you got to hear a lot about Todd Grisham. So that was fun for sure. And coming up next week on the Human Podcast Machine right here, one of you, you know, your favorite guys, you guys love Fantasy Draft Edition with myself, Professor Vegas, and my crazy producer, Seth. We will lock down, go over in the Fantasy Draft Edition best tag teams all time. Seth, all time, right? Turn your mic up. All time, all time, all time, all time. So best tag teams all time. We're gonna knock that out next week. So keep your eyes out for that. Also, got a podcast coming up real soon that I'm excited about called Suplex City. That's gonna come at you very soon. And like I said at the top, I'm gonna talk to you very, very, very soon about my situation. So I just can't do it in this particular podcast. So if you guys are listening to this weeks later, then you know it's already out there. So you know the truth. That's kind of the rough thing with podcasting. It's not live. So I apologize. All right, look, I appreciate you guys downloading and listening to the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Catch you soon, real soon right here. Keep your eyes on my Twitter, at Official Taz, or at Taz Podcast for all information with the Human Podcast Machine. We're going to have more information coming up soon about Taz Live also. Got a lot going on. I'm Taz. You're not. Thank you.